I wish that we had the time today to just have a testimony time where we could share with one another how we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. First of all, if you ever ask someone whether they know Christ as personal Savior, and they get upset, and they get mad at you, you know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. For me, I don't mind sharing my testimony at all. It's a great joy. Can you imagine someone who was a prisoner of war being delivered by his wonderful country, and then someone comes up to them and says, please recount to us the story of your deliverance from captivity. Do you think that that person would be insulted to say, let me tell you the story, and let me tell you about the price that many paid that I might be able to be free? Well, we're going to be looking at the subject, so great a salvation. Tell me the old, old story. I never tire of hearing the message of salvation. We're going to be looking at various aspects of salvation in a three-dimensional framework. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Get your Bibles ready, and let's study God's Word together. Heavenly Father, through your Spirit, speak to our hearts to open the understanding of our minds towards the great salvation that you have provided for us. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that we would rejoice together in this wonderful theme. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12. Several things that I want us to understand about the subject of salvation. First of all, God's Word teaches us that we can be assured of our salvation. You can be a young child, even Joseph's age, and in your heart, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're a young child, you can know that you have eternal life. And you can look at someone who may be a teenager, or someone in young adulthood, or middle age. God's Word teaches that we can know we have eternal life. Why? Because the Bible says, he that hath the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What, folks, have you done with Jesus Christ? The Bible says we can be assured of our salvation, that if you have the Son and you've received him as your Savior, you have everlasting life. We also are assured, and these are basic premises that we are laying out before we go into the three aspects of our salvation. We're also assured that we have a once for all salvation based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, our family was steeped in Romanism before we came to know the Lord, and every Mass we attended, Christ was re-crucified. And yet, the Word of God teaches that Jesus, once for all, shed his blood on Calvary that we might have eternal life. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, the entire chapter deals with the once for all sacrifice of Jesus. And specifically, if you look at verse 12, it says, this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Never could a high priest ever sit down in the ministry of his stewardship, because he was constantly busy about the work in the temple. And yet Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God and provided a finished redemption for us. Now, understanding this, the eternal security of the believer, the once for all sacrifice for Christ, we need to understand that the Bible also affirms that there are three aspects of our salvation, and they're all equally certain. They're all equally provided by grace from our Lord Jesus Christ and His work in Calvary for us. We're going to see our salvation has a past, our salvation has a present aspect, and our salvation also has a future perspective to it as well. So let's begin, number one, with the past aspect of our salvation. We, in the past, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, were saved from the penalty of sin. You know, when a person was to be crucified, the list of their offenses would be put and placed upon the cross. And all of their offenses against the state, against individuals, were placed at the head of that cross for all to see, so that individuals would recognize that that individual committed those offenses. The accusations that were upon them. Yet, you know what? Jesus Christ, when He died, our sins were placed upon Him. Those accusations, those sins, those acts of disobedience that every one of us have committed were placed on that cross, and He willingly suffered for me. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians, if you'll turn to chapter 2, so wonderfully explained to us in Colossians chapter 2. It says here in verse 14, what Jesus did on the cross for us, Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, the entire Mosaic law, which is truly what condemns us, which was contrary to us, it was nailed to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let me explain what that means. Jesus Christ was perfectly obedient to the law of Moses, which condemns us. Oh, how we have broken the Ten Commandments in part throughout the entire Scripture. And yet, Jesus Christ, in His perfection, fulfilled the law of ordinances that condemned us. He took our sins and nailed them to the cross. And then He spoiled principalities and powers. You know what that word spoiled means? Jesus disarmed Satan. It's almost as if with one fell swoop, He swung and knocked the sword out of Satan's hand and disarmed him. He destroyed the works of the devil. Notice it says, He spoiled principalities and powers, and He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Back when a defeated army would be paraded, oftentimes the king that led those armies would be chained, humiliated, and often even disrobed in front of the mocking crowd, in effect saying, "This was the king, but we defeated him. He's been mocked," triumphing over them. That's what our Savior did for us. We were saved from the penalty of sin, and every one of our sins were nailed to the cross, and Christ paid for those sins. Isn't it a wonderful act of grace? He was our substitute. He took the penalty for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Have you come to receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Have you received Jesus Christ, the one who willingly bore your sins. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's the wonderful past work of what the Lord did for us 2,000 years ago. 2 Timothy 1:9 puts it so clearly. It says, who hath saved us, past tense, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. The Lord didn't save us because of our good works. He didn't even save us on the basis of foreseen faith. The Word of God says, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given unto us in Christ Jesus, get this, before the world began. In Sunday school, we were marveling at God's power in all things. Well, here, before the world began, the Lord has saved us and called us with a holy calling. So this is our salvation in the past, where the Lord took our sins on the cross and he died for us. And when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, that work and that righteousness is credited to our account in Christ Jesus. But then there's the present aspect. Did you know the Bible says that we were saved, but the Bible also teaches that we are being saved. And it presents salvation in the present tense. We are being saved from the power and the dominion of sin in our lives. That's why in Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there and look at verse 14, the Bible tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Some people think that grace and salvation is something that's just in the past. But actually, we need to live daily by faith. The just shall live by faith. And faith does not end by your just getting saved. Faith is needed on a daily basis that we might take up the power that is given unto us by the Spirit of God. As we yield ourselves to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory in him and we are saved from the power and the dominion of sin. I like Galatians 2:20 because it says, I am crucified with Christ. And actually, the tense of that is putting us in the past. I have been crucified with Christ. When I received Christ as Savior, I was joined to Christ and co-crucified with him. I've been crucified to the old life. But still, notice the second part of salvation. But Christ liveth in me. That's the living sacrifice that Romans 12 speaks about. Even though we've been crucified with Christ, Christ lives in me. And notice the key to the present aspect of our salvation. The life which I now live in my body, in the flesh, and that's the idea of the flesh there, the life that I now live in the flesh of my body, I live it, here's the key, by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. So whenever Satan brings in his temptations, we have literally the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome the devil. Now that is an amazing fact, folks, that when we are members of his body and he is the head and we've been joined to him in salvation, we can actually live this life in his faith. Now, every age group has its concerns. When you get to be over 65 years of age, your mind starts sometimes thinking like this. You know, I wonder how things are going to work out for me. I don't want to be a burden to my kids. I wonder how I'm going to spend my latter years. Am I going to start falling apart? Am I going to stay healthy? Am I going to have to move? Where will I live? Can I continue to live in my own dwelling? What happens if I have to move and go to an extended care? And you know, the old devil loves to put worry and fear into all of our minds. And the older we get, we begin thinking that way. Folks, he didn't lead us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Don't you think that the Lord is going to continue to care for every one of your needs? You know, I, as a pastor, I'm in a position to often see the fears of people as they share with me at various age groups. And those are the things that oftentimes come up. And yet, we come and place ourselves into the hands of the Lord. And you know what our answer needs to be? Lord Jesus, I recognize all of these concerns that I have about what's going to happen if this and this and this. And the devil is quick to throw up a lot more than you can dream up. But we need to answer every one of those folks by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to respond to those earthly fears and say, Jesus is in me. I will respond in his power and in his faith. I am crucified with Christ, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and I keep before me always the remembrance that he loved me and he gave himself for me. And as I've said before, you don't buy a house for $15 million and then fail to change the light bulbs when they need replacement. The Lord is going to care for the incidentals, and he's going to watch out for us. Folks, we need to cast out earthly and worldly fears. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But in this case, we are saved not only from the penalty of sin, that's salvation in the past, but we can be saved from the power and the dominion of sin. When the devil knocks on the door of your heart bringing temptation, we can let the Lord answer the door and trust in him. And in this sense, we are being saved, we're being delivered, you see. It doesn't mean that our salvation isn't complete, but in the present, we are being day to day delivered from the power of sin. That's another way of saying the process of sanctification, where Christ makes us conformed to the image of his Son. Through past salvation, we are positionally righteous. In the process of sanctification, he is making us righteous on a day-to-day experiential walk with him. But we are positionally righteous through what Jesus did for us. Now let's take a look at the third aspect of salvation, and that is future aspect. And this is that we will be saved someday from the very presence of sin. I don't need to tell you that when you got saved, your old sin nature and my old sin nature, it has not been eradicated. There are some groups that teach the eradication of the sin nature. That's not true at all. Some holiness groups teach that you can be sinless in this world on a continual, constant basis. No, we have that old sin nature that abides within us, and we die daily to it, and we fight the good fight of faith. But you know, someday the Lord is going to deliver us, save us from the very presence of sin in our hearts and lives. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Did you know that sin has affected the entire creation of which we are a part? It says, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And we join in with nature and all of the created creatures. We join in with that same groaning, because not only they, but we ourselves also. But here's the promise. Get this. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Did you know that the Bible tells us that the Lord, who placed His Holy Spirit inside of us, that's the first fruit. In the book of Ephesians, it's called the earnest of the Spirit of God. We have that promise that He's going to complete and take us away from the very presence of sin. And it says, we have the first fruit of the Spirit, verse 23. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know, Ephesians 1:4 reminds us that we are holy and without blame before Him. We will be in love. So I want to draw a few conclusions as we conclude the three aspects of salvation: past, present, and future. Did you know, for instance, that you can take one verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:10, and you have all three tenses of our salvation in one single verse unit that brings all of this together? Let's take a look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. It says this, and this is three tenses of salvation. Who delivered us from so great a death? Now, is that past, present, or future? Past, okay. Now, and doth deliver, present, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Future tense, you see. Those are the three aspects of our salvation that are ours. Two of these are available unto us now. Past salvation, when you get saved and receive Christ as Savior, the Lord applies that past salvation and He places it into your life. Then He also makes the provision of His power to deliver you. But free from the presence of sin, that's yet to come. Yet to come. But the wonderful thing about it is, when the Lord raptures us, and that's the event which is going to bring this about, when the Lord raptures us, we'll have a glorified body. Sin nature? No sin nature. A glorified body, our spirit and soul joined one together in the presence of the Lord. And that's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom ye trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And now look at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 1. which is the earnest of our inheritance, get this now, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And the Lord is going to complete that work that he has begun in our hearts and lives. Now, my question as I close the service is this. Are you living in light of his full redemption for you? Let's bow our heads together. There may be some here this morning that have never trusted in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And you've never made that decision. You are working and striving to be the best person that you can, and you think that you and God have some type of an agreement. Well, God agrees with his word, and to confess means to agree with God. And if God says, except you repent, you'll all perish. Agreeing with God means getting saved and trusting in him. Could it be that there's one here that has never placed their full trust and faith in Jesus Christ? I believe not, but I'd be wrong in failing to give that opportunity. Then if you're a believer in Christ, do you also realize that God would have you to live life through the faith of Jesus Christ? When those fears, those temptations come, claim the faith and the response of the power, the available power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to say yes to God and no to sin. Do we always do that? Absolutely, we do not. We need to repent of that and look to Jesus Christ and how we can thank the Lord that someday we'll be saved from the presence of sin. And the Lord says, he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. I'm wondering how many here would say, you know, I have some unsaved loved ones that I'm concerned about that have never trusted in Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude in a prayer for those as well that may not have trusted in Christ. Extended family members and loved ones, how many here would say, yes, there are some that I have a burden for? Every single family has their hand raised for some that do not know Christ. I'd like to conclude this time of prayer for them. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Spirit of God and his work in men's hearts. And Father, we thank you that people still need the Lord and people are still being saved. Your word says that you are building your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Lord, be it through trial and tribulation, your general acts of mercy and grace, the evidences of your presence, draw those hearts, Lord, unto you in assurance of salvation. May they realize, Lord, the truth that only Jesus can save them and his righteousness that fulfilled the righteousness of God. And Lord, may they turn from their own works and their own selves to Jesus Christ and experience, Lord, the wonderful freedom from the penalty of sin and then the power available, Lord, to serve you on a daily basis. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.